Hello, this is Chris Nelson from evolveconsciousness.org. I'll be doing part three in a variable topic relating to truth and consciousness presentations that I'm doing. This one will deal more with being and becoming and those definitions as it relates to the part two presentation, which had to do with truth level one and level two, absolute and relative. I also talked about duality and polarity and transcendental consciousness. So taking off from those concepts and talking about them more as it relates to being and becoming. So the first slide here, and I'll try to go quicker through this presentation because the last one was 5 hours. So the first slide image infographic here, I have a definition of being and becoming. Be and being has synonyms with exist, happen, existence, and actuality. And the verbs have different tenses. You have different verbs for different tenses and conjugations of the verb be, to be. We have is, am, are, being. So that's in the present, if you look at the tense. Was, were, been, that's in the past. Exist, well, that's now as well. And you have presence and now, that's in the present and now as well. And we also have being as a condition or state of being. So whether it's in the past or the present, well, I guess it's always a condition or state would be only a reference to the present. Or unless you're specifically referencing the past, then you'd say a condition in the past as it differs from the current condition now in the present. So being is a condition, state, or circumstance, a presence, or a fact of existing. That's what being is. You're in a current condition or state of being. Circumstances are a certain way, so you're being a certain way according to certain circumstances, and if those circumstances change, then the being will change its state or condition. And the conventional meanings for being are the state or fact of existence, consciousness, or life. So a rock can be, and you can also have human consciousness or animal consciousness as being, or simply life as being. So some being, you can talk about consciousness beings, or you can just talk about some being as in a living being, which a plant is also a biological living being as opposed to non-living beings like a rock. But a rock is also a fact of existence. So there's different applicability across the forms of existence, such as pure inanimate matter, and then we get to animate matter, and then we get to consciousness as an emergent phenomenon within the animated matter. Also, the conventional meaning is that which has actuality, materially or in concept. So something is when it actually is in reality, or it is in your mind and doesn't exist in reality. So you can say something is or is being, it has an actuality in your consciousness, but not in existence. So if you talk about being, someone might talk about how something is, but it's completely derived from the consciousness without an actual basis in reality. And the third conventional meaning is one's basic nature or the qualities thereof, our essence or personality. So that would be who we are as a being in our current condition and state in consciousness. So it's applicability not our being as a body, how we're being, the state of our physical existence, but the state of our consciousness existence of who we are as a person, who we choose to be. So those are different applicabilities for being in conventional meanings and synonyms and verb tense. Becoming is similar to be and being, but the synonyms for exist and happen, existence and actuality. Now the synonyms for becoming is to evolve into, to grow into, to turn into, to develop into. So be and being is to have that existence an actuality to exist and have happened. So something taken, that's already taken place, and you're now living in that condition. Being and becoming is you're trying to go towards something else, turning into it, developing into it, grow into it, evolve into it. And becoming comes from becoming, but it's not the be in becoming is not the be from be in being. In becoming, the part coming is actually the part that means be or being. And the be in becoming doesn't mean the be or being. So be means about or around. It doesn't mean the condition, state, or circumstance, present, fact of existence. It doesn't mean that. It means about or around. That's what the be in becoming means. And when you get to come, come is the actual equivocation to be and being. That's how they relate. It's not in the be part in become and becoming. That's deceptive. It's not the same as be and being. The be and being in the becoming is in the coming, etymologically. I just want to make that clear. Because I thought it was in be. The word was confusing to me at first until I understood. Oh, well, the be is not actually the be. It's another type of be. And then the coming is actually the be and the be and be being. So come is to come, go, happen, to come around. So the word means become is to come around, to come about, to go around, to happen around. So to come around, to come around, about, across, by, or near. Reach a destination, approach, arrive, enter, meet with, fall in with, befall, befit. So we notice that it has to do with going somewhere and a destination to arrive and enter. We're going to see how this has to do. You can already see the implications now, but I'm going to tie it into, as I've already mentioned in the previous presentation, part 2, on consciousness and truth, tie it into how this is evolution. How living is becoming, and that's evolution, that's real living, whereas life is being, you're just being, that's just life. We live as beings, but we are living for the future of becoming better than what we currently are. Now that's ties into the purpose of life, the central purpose of life, which is this. It's to improve ourselves towards the polarized, absolute, imagined, envisioned, potential, ideal idea as an idealized way of living that comes from within our consciousness. And then we can change ourselves, our being, towards that potential and become it. That's evolution. That's living. Life is just being what is, what you are now. That's life. We're just living life. We're being. But living, especially the higher L living, as can be traced symbolically and conceptually to ancient Egypt or Kemet, however you want to say it. But that's the real living, was with a capital L. That's what the gods were. They were living. That's what the pharaoh was the living. And it all had to do with Ma'at and living under Ma'at and morality. So the purpose of life is to seek morality and change yourself to become a greater embodiment of these envisioned concepts of morality that you can derive through interaction with others in reality to learn how harm affects others and how not to do it. Before I go on to the next image, I'll introduce an image I had put in part 2. I forget which number it was in that presentation, but I had originally done 3 infographics to tie in the absolute and relative and the truth level 2 and level 1 and ideals and potentials and actualizing and becoming, actuality and potentiality into being and becoming to tie those concepts together. So I had originally, when I was conceptualizing all of this, I had made 3 infographics and I had later separated them One I kept into part two presentation, and the other two I put into this presentation on being and becoming. So here is part, this is the first image out of the three, and this is in 1B on part three presentation to introduce the other two, since this was the first part in the series of those three that I did. So here's a refresher from part two. The truth level two has a path we can always get back onto. It's an infinite potential that we envision in our minds because it's an idealized way to live, because it's an ideal, and it comes from the idea, from our imagination, from our consciousness. So we aspire towards that absolute infinite potential, the better way that we can always envision. It's always going to be a better way. That's why it's an absolute, because it's always a better way relative to something else. But then when we actualize it, when we're aware of a T2 potential X, we can actualize that T2 potential X as a truth level one in reality. And then once we reach that level, well, then we can become aware of greater truths, greater infinite potential, better ways that are better than the absolute truth that something we've already actualized was better than something before. But now that we've actualized that betterness, we can envision something that's even better and then work to evolve and change ourselves and become that better thing. So this was part 1B. And image 2 has the second part from that conceptual derivation, trying to tie in absolute and relative and aspirations and potential to being and becoming. In this image, we have on the right side, I'll start with the right side because it takes off from the previous infographic, which had the same thing on the right, but we have some additional pieces of information. So there's still aware potential and actualized, there's still aspire towards the absolute, but I've added some correspondences to help associate the conceptual connections between being and becoming, actual and potential, absolute and relative, but absolute and relative interchange depending on the context and your perspective of what you're looking at. As I explained in the previous presentation on the consciousness and truth, you can go look at that for more information, but it depends on how you're looking at it. Things are both relative and absolute at the same time. It depends on how you want to describe it. So with the aspiration towards an absolute ideal, you have awareness of something. You're in the actual grounding, the actual being of where you are. Then you become aware of something, such as the T2 potential X, or Y or Z, or ABC, whatever. And then you actualize that potential as a reality in truth level one. Then you can become aware of something else, actualize that, and then aware of something else, actualize that, etc., etc., towards an infinite self-improvement ad infinitum. How this relates to being and becoming is the being part is when you actualize. When you become something, you're being it. When you have become it, when you're becoming, you haven't become it. You're not it. You aren't being it yet. So when you become, that's when you're aware and you're aspiring to that potential. You're trying to become that potential. And then when you actualize that potential, well, then you're being that potential. So this is how we go from the potential to an actuality, to a potential to an actuality. It's the same thing. It's a becoming potential to being in the actual. A becoming potential, why? To being in the actual, where we've manifested that potential why into the reality. So now why exists in reality as a being in reality instead of just a conceptual being in our imaginations, in our consciousness. So I'll go to the left side now. So there's two different ways of looking at it as I've been looking at things in dualities, as I've explained dualities and how they're just twofold. They're not polarities. Polarities are dualities, but dualities are not necessarily polarities. So we have being and becoming as a dualistic component to our reality. And again, I think I talk about it here in this presentation, but I'll just mention it briefly. Just as absolute and relative are dependent upon your perspective and how you want to describe something, and they're both applicable, to something, it just depends on how you want to describe it, with respect to other aspects of reality or other concepts, you're trying to correspond to them. Being and becoming also has that, a similar dual component where they're both active in reality. So absolute and relative are both active in reality, and so is being and becoming. They're both, in a way, they're both part of the same coin. We're being, and then we become, and then we be again. You can't have one without the other for our current way of existence. And if you're not becoming something better, and you're just being, and you're stagnating your whole life in this existence, then you're not actually living, as I've said, with a capital L. You're surely not living for the greater potential. You're not living for a better future. So it's not really living. You're just stagnating in an entropic, stagnant, static, fixed way of living. And that's not real living. Anyways, I'll probably elaborate upon that further in the future in this presentation. But to continue, being in our reality, when you take a flux space-time, which is how our reality functions, it's not static. Things move. That's how space-time works. It's in a flux. It's in movement. So if you take being and you add a flux space-time where things change, things move, well, that equals the becoming. Once you add being and once you add time and change and movement to a static being, well, then you get the possibility for becoming, and that is the power to affect change. So being would be existence, and the flux space time would be the ability to even have the possibility of a future. Because if you don't have time in space where things move, then existence remains static, frozen as an entropic state of time where there's no time and there's no future. All you have is the present, which remains forever the present, and nothing changes. There's no life, there's no living, there's nothing. So you have existence plus the future gives you that potentiality for becoming something else, the power to affect change. So this is I'm trying to impart upon you the importance of understanding the concept of the future as it relates to our consciousness. I've already talked about synidesis and synderesis or synteresis in the first presentation as conscience as a judge for the past actions, which is synidesis, in order to develop conscience as a guide to our future actions, which is synderesis. So, again, I'm bringing in time in relating to this because time is a central component in persistence, in becoming, in being, in absolute and relative. Well, the absolute and relative, the application of the perspective, often does relate to how you're viewing time. If you're viewing time as reality, as it is always flowing, in a flux, or if you're viewing time as a current snapshot now, where I have my cup in front of me, it existed a year ago, it'll exist now, it might exist a year from now, but 100 years from now, it probably won't exist. So the future has changed, things change, and we can bring change. We have the power to affect change in the existence, the real existence of the flux of space-time, where we are living for the future, where we have the power to affect change by, through that potential to become something else, or to have something else in reality become something else. But the point is that this is how reality is structured, through a living for the future, where the potential can be actualized, where we can become something else. It's all about the future. Being and space-time, becoming, existence and the future for potentiality, that's relative to what is being now. So this is how it's relative. Becoming is relative in this respect because it's relative to what is currently now. In order to compare for change, so you have to compare what's now in order to change to the future. You have to compare what's now to the past in order to change into the future. Knowledge of the past and the present is pivotal and essential in order to move forward into the future. If you don't have an accurate knowledge of now or the present, then you're going to be moving into the future and likely be repeating the same mistakes that you currently did now or did in the past because you don't have that knowledge. So syneidesis, judgment of the past as conscience, conscience as judgment of our past actions, for conscience as a guide to our future actions. This is how important this is. The importance of the past and the present in order to derive knowledge from our memory and retain it in memory, in order for us to use the power, potential becoming of our consciousness and change our way of living. So that was relative to what is being now. It's relative to what's now in order to change into the future. But it's an absolute condition of living. This way of looking at things, of existence in the future, is our potentiality and becoming the power to affect change. This is the absolute condition of living. As you will see below, I'll explain how being and now isn't the absolute condition of living, because we don't live in a state of existence and now, of pure actuality with no change, no future, where space-time is completely fixed into a now position, where we're the same constant being. That is not reality. So it's existence and future, potentiality, becoming, the power to affect change. That's the condition of living. Absolutely. And sure, it's relative if you're doing it or not. If you're not living this way, then it's not the absolute condition of living. You're not living that way. It's relative upon your consciousness to recognize this aspect of our ability to interact in reality and then actualize and engage in this power to affect change. Time reality is dynamic, not static. That's the point I was making about how this is the absolute condition of living and life. Now we have being and fixed space-time. As you can already envision, correspond with what I've already been talking about, this is not real life. If you take being, what is now, and you apply fixed space-time, which is unreality, space and time does not exist as a fixed aspect of reality. That's unreality, so that's being right here. The same constant forever if you had this in operation as a way of existing. Being plus fixed space-time is being, it's the same constant. And that would equate to existence, what is now, plus just more of now, no flux of space-time, no possibility of change. You would have existence and now, which just give you the same actuality that exists now, the same constant. So this is how conceptually, in my presentations, I'm not saying being is a negative and now is a negative. I'm describing it in reference to the purpose of life, to living for the future and using our power of consciousness through this future capacity with the knowledge of our past and the present to envision greater potential futures and become those greater potential futures. Existence and now being in fixed space-time is absolute out of time and place. So the thing you envision, the potential you envision, now I've talked about this in the previous presentation in my attempt to clarify absolute and relative and how they apply in dual capacities, depending on how you're looking at it. When you had existence in future, it was relative because it didn't exist yet. Compared to what was now, you needed a comparison of now in order to envision a better future that doesn't exist, so it's relative. But the current now is absolute at a time and place. Right now, at 9:11 a.m., now just changed to 9:12 as I said that. So between 9:11 and 9:12, there was a two-second instance for the chronology to change visually in my experience for me to perceive it as an absolute time and place now. So at that specific absolute static snapshot in time, it was 9:11 and 59 seconds. And then we go into the flux of space-time, and then the potentiality for 9/11/59 to turn into 9/12/00, well, that happened. So then the absolute at a time and place wasn't 9/11/59. It was 9/12/00. That now became the absolute at a time and place. But it was only a static snapshot in that time, because reality is actually about living in the future. The future is always becoming the present. We're in a flux of space-time, and that's what's becoming the existence and being. So being existence plus space, a fixed space-time, just more of the now, that is absolutely what is now. But it's relative to time and temporal and temporary, because, as I said, with 9/11/59, so that was absolute at that time, but that's not how reality works. Reality is a flux, so then it becomes 9/11/59 becomes 9/12/00. So your current previous truth at a snapshot in time, a static absolute snapshot of existence plus a state of now, a fixed space-time to give you an actuality in reality, a truth in reality at that time. Well, at 9/11/59, the truth was that it was 9/11/59 seconds. But it was relative to that specific static absolute snapshot in time. In the existence of time, you take specific snapshots in time. So whenever you take a specific snapshot, it's relative to the snapshots you took before and the snapshots that are going to come into the future. Even though it's absolute at that time, that's what is there. It's what's now. As soon as now changes, which as soon as now happens, it becomes the past, and the new now comes from the future. That's why we're living for the future. It all comes from the future into the now, and the now goes into the past. But it all comes from the future. That's where the path is. That's where our direction is, into the future. Our direction isn't into the past, and our direction isn't looking down at our feet, so we don't know where to go. Our direction is looking towards the future. This is the importance of the future and real living and envisioning the future. And a lot of the New Age bunk on focusing on the presence and be here now and be in the now and just experience things, there's an aspect of truth to it, but there's an aspect of falsity to it as well. That's a lot of the deception that people fall into, because unfortunately people have a low level of cognitive processing capabilities and critical thinking with respect to what's actually in existence, and how they fool themselves through the imagination process and consciousness. It's very hard to decipher these things in reality when you're not thinking about them and you just accept the New Age garbage that people feed you. Back to the presentation, being fixed space-time, existence and now. It's relative to time, it's temporary. It's temporal, time and temporal, because it's temporary. It's only given, it is what it is at a given time, then the flux of time permits change to what is or was. So I hope this is very clear on what being is and becoming as it relates to the actual reality as time, which changes, versus a time that doesn't change and it's static and fixed. That's why all the truths are absolute. It's absolute. Here's a black keyboard, a white cup. But it's only absolute relative to that period of time. It was absolutely true that World War II happened over 50 years ago, over 60 years ago. It's absolutely true, but it's not absolutely true right now. There's World War II is not happening right now. It's relative to time. It's temporal. It's temporary. It happened in the past. It was at a given time, and then it wasn't anymore. So that's how absolute and relative. I'm trying to give you more examples in case it's confusing, or in case you haven't been through the second part of the presentation, which was before this one, entitled Consciousness and Truth. My apologies for the time it's taking. I like to explain things in great detail to make sure people understand what it is I'm trying to express. Or again, I could just release my infographics and you could try to make sense with the limited amount of word symbols and descriptions that I've given in infographics. But when you explain things, it provides more detail for people to understand. So again, if you don't like my presentations and they're too long, just go through the infographics and learn what you can from them. And then if you find something valuable and you want to understand it more, then you can come through the hours of my presentations, I guess. So, to further categorize this visually, we have time flux, which is a becoming. It's dynamic. This is where the power to actualize a potential. We have a potential which is a plus or minus, right? We have a potential, the potential good, or a potential evil. So that's the plus or minus, is the potential for good or potential for evil. And that's a goal. A goal to become good or the goal to become evil. Whether we think we're becoming good and actually becoming evil, it doesn't matter. The goal is we're actually becoming evil or we're actually becoming good. Even if our goal is to become good and we actually become evil, there's a goal in consciousness, and then there's the actual goal that you're actually striving to, even if you're ignorant of that goal. So there's a goal in truth, and then there's the goal in your perception of reality, which might be actually what reality is. So it might actually be a valid goal that you're actually going to create. Or you might imagine a goal, and the actions you take towards that goal are actually going to produce the opposite of that goal. So I'm just trying to clarify that you can have goals that are legitimate and actually representative of greater potentials to live by, and you can have negative ones. So time in flux, you can have the unreality, the opposite of that, the polar opposite. In when we're looking at being and becoming, they're together, they're a unit in terms of how we live our existence, but they're polar opposites as well, if you look at it in this way, because one is an aspect of a flux in time, and one is a fixed state in time. The fixed state in time is only a representation of our perception in time, as we don't just perceive time as one big thing with nothing in it, and there's no differentiation. It's one thing after another, so we can differentiate one thing from another. So that's the way we perceive time, is by segmenting it and creating snapshots in our time frame rates. Like we see 20, 25, or 29 frames per second. That's how movies are set up. 29.97 for NTSC, and then PAL is another number. Anyways, so around 30 frames per second. That's how we see in frames, snapshots of time. That's why I'm talking about snapshots of time, because that's how we perceive things. I don't remember if I mentioned that in the previous presentation, or if it's in this one or the next one, or maybe it's in another infographic I didn't include, but that's how we perceive. It's all in snapshots, one thing after another. So that's how they work together. But when you look at them as two things, they're diametrically opposed, because one is static and one's dynamic, and they work together to create how we interact in reality through the flux of time. But time is fixed, and that's being, it's static, and that would be the actual, and that's the ground. So from the being and static, we go up to the becoming and dynamic, and back to the being and static. That's why I have these arrows for a circular cyclical movement, where we're always consuming ourselves. That's what a cycle, repetition, loops are. You eat yourself like the Ouroboros snake. So I have some symbolism on that in other presentations. And circle and eating ourselves and coming back on our tracks and learning from our past mistakes. Synidesis. Like, you have to go through my presentations and make the connections on your own of all these different things. I've been working on these presentations for the past year, and it's all a development of the same conceptual work, but dealing with specific sub-concepts to tie everything in to create a more holistic pattern recognition of everything together. But it's all described as concepts of symbols we derive from reality. So go back to my work on the trivium and symbols and consciousness and symbolism, and then follow up to here, and you'll make more connections to my work, such as what I'm talking about on the loops and iterations and repetition and persistence, which I talked about and consciousness and truth prior to this presentation, but it's been talked about with respect to karma, as it's a wheel of life. That's the wheel, and you can tie in synidesis to learn from our past, to live for the future. We're consuming ourselves. We consume knowledge of our past in order to recreate ourselves into the future as better versions of ourselves. So that's what self-renewal is. Continual self-renewal ad infinitum. This potential that we aspire to can continually be refreshed. Once we become aware of one potential and we actualize it, our state of being, as we exist in the ground of being, in actuality, well, now we've reached a greater level, and that allows us to aspire to even greater levels. We can envision them in our consciousness, and then we can aspire towards them and then inspire them into reality. Through us, that's the power we have. We become expressions of truth level 2, of morality. We create these expressions of morality into existence. They become expressed through us. Anyways, there's a lot of connections that if I went through my previous presentations before I did these ones, I could talk about so many more connections, but you know, time goes by, and as time goes by, you lose connections and stuff. So I try to make connections where I can, but please go through the previous work so that you can get the whole picture of the power of symbols and how we invent them and how we use them to make sense of our reality and to make greater conceptual frameworks for understanding ourselves and reality. And then the problems in creating symbolism and how we can deceive ourselves and trick ourselves and imagine things that don't exist but then give them existence through objectification, personification, projection, and reification. Anyways, it's a big topic. I'm trying to dissect it and give bits and pieces of how this all comes together to change your way of how you perceive, conceive, understand, and navigate reality. Because it's very tricky, our consciousness. We are our own worst enemies. We fool ourselves the most easily. And it has largely to do with our affinity for pleasure and comfort and believing whatever we want to believe because it's more comfortable for our sense of self, our self-image, worldview, and how we fit into the universe and how special we think we are, etc., etc. Anyways, I've talked about this in previous presentations, but it all ties in some way or another. The being is the static actual ground. So from the ground, we aspire to the potential as a goal. We go from the ground to a goal, and once we have that potential goal in our mind as a becoming, we can become that potential, that goal, and bring it back down to the ground. So we aspire to that potential of becoming something else, and then we can inspire through us, we can be inspired with that potential we aspire to. So that potential, again, in my previous presentations, the potential is the ideal, and the ideal, that's the good and the moral and the right and the truth, and that's the higher self and God. And anyways, it all comes back down. That's you. The potential comes from your consciousness. You envision it. The quote, God, creator, generator, manifester is the imaginator that you are. Your consciousness is the imagination factory powered by an abstraction engine. You abstract and imagine things based on the concretes and the primacy of existence. So you abstract that, you imagine them, and that's your generator power of consciousness. That's the God power of consciousness you have, is in your consciousness to imagine and envision ideals. That's the potential that you want to become. That's the thing you aspire towards. Then what you aspire towards, you inspire it from your consciousness as a purely conceptual being that you're not living it yet. Then when you're ready to live it, to embody it and become it, to be it, then you bring it back down to the ground and you live it in your life. That's taking the potential and bringing it to the actual. That's taking your aspiration from your imagined consciousness and then inspiring it into the actuality of truth level 2. From truth level, into truth level 1. It's from truth level 2 in consciousness, that ideal potential. You bring that becoming dynamic state in your consciousness. You choose to become it, and then you're going to be it. When you bring it to the ground and you inspire it into your body and you live it through your life. And I'll finish on the right. I forgot that we adapt and evolve to higher levels. That's becoming and being, awareness of a potential and then actualizing that potential is aspiring towards an absolute ideal. It's to adapt and evolve to higher levels of consciousness. This is the whole purpose of life. People want to tell you all the other things. Well, these are all superfluous personal purposes that you can have in life. This purpose that I'm talking about is the purpose all humans have as consciousness beings, to recognize with great power comes great responsibility, and to actualize greater good rather than greater evil. And that requires self-knowledge, knowledge of yourself, knowledge of reality, how your consciousness operates in reality, how your consciousness functions, how you can even aspire to create better ways of living. So it's about being a higher, realer, truer version of yourself. Self-actualization, self-realization, self-transformation, apotheosis. It's about recognizing this power to become God, this becoming God. That's what apotheosis means. That's the self-transformative power to be this transcendental consciousness, where you can engage in continual self-renewal ad infinitum. Well, not really ad infinitum, since we have, you know, a limited lifespan, but you can do this as many times as you want. Change yourself towards the better. Infographic number 3. That's the same as the previous two. Conceptually, it's about the same concept, so I kept some parts of the previous infographics so that people don't get too confused. They don't have to switch back between one infographic and the other. They can keep relating. But I might delete that stuff and just make the text bigger for the explanations I'm giving on this infographic here. Time flux, dynamic becoming. It's where change becoming affects being. It's the power of conscious to envision a T2 potential. Time fixed, static being is where being is. That's the primacy of existence to establish the T1 actual, the truth level 1 actual. And then you have the power of consciousness to envision truth level 2 potential. So where time is fixed in the snapshots of being, where we derive a truth, that's where something is, a being. It's where being is. It's currently being that. And then 1 second later, well, it's currently being that. 1 second later, well, it's currently being this now, and then this, and this, and then things can change. But it's currently being whatever it's currently being. When you look at it as a fixed time snapshot, it currently is being what it is being. Now, in the dynamic process of becoming of reality, that's where change and becoming affects being. So our power to affect being is from our consciousness, where we derive the T2 potential. Being is a persistence through the changing flux of time. Being is a still frame in the moving process of becoming. Time and reality never freeze at the, quote, now position. A specific instance of now becomes the past. Now changes towards the future. Time is the being that is now, becoming the future. That's what time is. Time, you think about the concept of time. Okay, things exist in time. Time is what's being now, what is now, that is becoming the future. Everything is becoming the future. That's how things persist. Talked about it in the part 2 presentation before this one, Consciousness and Truth. Whatever's now is leading to becoming either more of itself into the future, more of the same of itself into the future, so remaining static into the future, so it becomes more of itself, or it can become something different. So that's how there's always being and becoming. Becoming is always there. You can become what you already were, or you can become something different. I think that's in the future infographics in this presentation. The present slash now is renewed by the future. Now doesn't stay the same. Now isn't always now. Now is whatever is now, and as soon as you say now, a split second goes by and it becomes the past. The present now is always renewed by the future, constantly. The future is always what is coming into being now. And then what comes into being now goes into the past. It goes from the future to the present now into the past. That's the way the movement of reality works. Being is returned to and renewed by becoming. So when you go into a process of becoming, you return to the state of being because you're being renewed by becoming into a state of being. So that might be confusing. I'll try to explain it in a different way. So being in the present, you keep returning to being in the present. Even though the current being becomes the past, you're still being right now what you are being, because the being, the present, the now, is continuously being renewed by the future. The future is always coming into the now and the present. So it's, the being is returning to being because it's being renewed by the future and becoming, and either becoming more of itself or becoming something else, becoming something better or something worse, as a potential plus, better, or as a potential minus, something worse. The future and becoming are aspired towards, then inspired into the now and being. So there's the aspire and the inspire. I just talked about that, and I talked about it in the previous presentation as well. Aspire towards and inspire into the now and being. Being presence and the now is experienced. That's what you do. You can't experience the future. It hasn't happened yet. And the being and presence, the now, is what you actually experience. But the future and becoming is what is lived for. That's the purpose, meaning, and goal. Our purpose and meaning and goal is about future living. It's not about my purpose and goal and meaning in life is to maintain my current state of existence. Really? That's a circular purpose and meaning. You're not going anywhere. All you're doing is staying where you are. That's not a real purpose, meaning, and goal for living. That's not living. And then you think about how most people live, and that's how they live. Their purpose, meanings, and goal aren't very high in terms of truer, realer, higher potential consciousness living. Their purposes, meanings, and goals are very materialistic oftentimes, or very selfish and based in pleasure, comfort, convenience, and enjoyment of life. And the whole, I view it as a negative, the negative new age aspect of being in the now and the presence, and it all has to do with the pleasure gratification life mottos and the pleasure trap. I have articles on that. Live in the now, experience the bliss, follow your bliss, live for adventure, follow your dreams, follow your heart. All these things are all based in desires. They're not actual higher consciousness, quote, heart aspirations of truth and morality, that real higher heart, quote, heart. Because again, as I mentioned before in my work, mind and heart are just qualities of consciousness. It's not your actual heart. Your mind and heart, conceptually as a symbol, are actually just consciousness. And they're not opposed, they're not polarities, they're just a twofold dualistic aspect of consciousness. One operates in one way, one operates in another way. They're not diametrically opposed, they're not enemies. You need to work with them both together, not look at them as enemies. So the real heart is truth and morality. Many people that follow your heart, follow your dreams, live in the moment, experience everything. All experiences are valid. Anyways, I have a lot of these mottos. I wrote about them. They're all lower base living focused on pleasure and comfort and convenience, etc. I have work on substance versus appearance, on that aspect of living, if you want more information. A lot of my work deals with that. I have a quote here by Heidegger. I went and looked at the source of the quote. He wasn't talking about the same thing that I'm talking about, I don't think, but I'm using the quote to reference what I'm talking about. The more consciousness, the less being. I was watching a documentary or something, and the quote was mentioned. It wasn't about what I was doing, but when the quote was mentioned, I immediately related it to the work I was presently doing. So I'm going to explain it. This relates to being and becoming and transcendental consciousness. So the more consciousness, the less being. So what have I been talking about in terms of consciousness? T2 potential, ideal, future. That's all reality, living, future, consciousness, potential, and being. Well, being was the static thing. Being was the thing that if you keep it static in the now, it's unreal. So we're looking at living versus not living. So the more consciousness, the more living, and the less being, the less not living. So what does that mean? The more consciousness, the less being, in terms of my presentation. The more abstraction into self-awareness, reflection, and change towards a future potential. Remember the imagination factory powered by an abstraction engine, your consciousness? Abstraction into self-awareness, you need to be aware of yourself and reality, reflect upon yourself and reality, judge, compare, contrast things. So to do this and change towards a future potential, then if you do this and you have more abstraction into self-awareness, reflection, and change towards a future potential, and you're focusing more on becoming something, then the less you are of a fixed self-concept in the permanence of now that resists or fears change, where you're focused on where you have a learned helplessness and you don't know how to change, or you don't think change is possible, you're a self-victimized mentality where there's no change possible and you think things are hopeless. That's because you don't have consciousness. You're not in higher consciousness capacities of even the capacity to cognitively process yourself or reality in greater in greater degrees of pattern recognition and correspondence. You don't even have that capacity because your consciousness is so degraded. Either the food you eat, or you don't think, you don't, you're antithetical, or you have an animosity towards thinking. Whatever reason, you're not thinking. So as a result of not thinking, not developing your cognitive capacities, not developing your consciousness to gain greater awareness of reality in that first part of transcendental consciousness, well, you're never going to be able to reach the ability to even envision greater potential improvements and better ways of living from your consciousness, because you haven't even developed your consciousness in a more basic way of looking at reality honestly, to see it as it is, to then even envision comparatively, relative to what is now, a better way to live. You won't be able to do that. You'll be envisioning ways to live that you think are better but aren't actually better, because you don't have an actual more consciousness, self-awareness, self-reflection, and change towards a future potential. You're fixed in your current state of being, in your self-concept, and you don't want, you think that the way things are need to be this way, or you don't see how they can change, and you're stuck in a static state of being, and you're not in a state of recognizing your power to envision potentials and consciousness to then bring that future into being and then change your reality. You're a broken human. You might be a human animal with some aspects of consciousness, but you're not a higher order human within the higher order of animals. So higher order of animals, you get humans. There's a human. Yeah, you have the higher order consciousness, potential, capacity to envision things. But if you're not using that potential to envision things, you're a higher order animal compared to other animals. Okay, you can talk and do other things, and you can interact and do things more than other animals, but you don't have the higher order transcendental consciousness to abstract and reflect and become more aware of yourself and reality, to then change yourself and reality. So this is higher self versus lower self, truer self versus falser self. So far it seems like I'm failing on my duty to reduce my time. We're already at about an hour and I've only done 4 infographics. But I think those are the most explanations, so hopefully things go quicker. Infographic number 4, pure being. Absolute, infinite. What is this concept of pure being that people have, and why are they relating it to the absolute and infinite? Now this, again, I'm introducing it here because we're talking about being, and I've talked about it in the previous presentation on absolute and relative, because people envision the pure being, the one, the all. So I've talked about that in the previous presentation a bit. Here's a little bit more, but again, I've said the most is going to be dealt with in the next presentation, where I'm going to demonstrate the objectification, reification, personification, and projection of... Well, I'm going to explain it more, what makes more sense, that the power of your consciousness to derive truth, love, good, right, morality, natural moral law, comes from you as the source, versus other people that want to... I was one of those other people that used to imagine that there was some absolute, pure, infinite being out there that was the source for truth, love, good, right, morality, natural, moral law. Now, if you go back to my previous work on my site, this is how I would erroneously conceptualize the source of what we term and our expressions of for truth, love, good, right, morality, natural, moral law. Pure being is no change, right? You understand this is what I've already been explaining. Being, static, no time, fixed, entropic, stagnant. Pure being is no change, no time, stopped, fixed, frozen, still, unreality. Pure being is conceptually derived from consciousness. Pure being does not exist in reality. If you think of pure being, the only place pure being is a being is in your consciousness. Go back to slide number 1 and the definitions of being, being, where they can actually exist. It's an actuality in actuality of existence, or it's an actuality in your own consciousness, which is just an imagination. So pure being is conceptually derived from consciousness. There is no such thing as pure being in reality. A rock is being, but it's not pure being. You'll understand, and especially if you've already have a concept of pure being or pure absolute or the pure absolute infinite absolute being or whatever you want to call it, you can already see how your concept might be starting to crumble and fall apart. Pure absolute being is an imagined abstraction of no change, no purpose, and no meaning. Think back. In these new age pseudo-spiritual conceptions that you've been infected with, that I was previously infected with, pure absolute being, that's sold as it has all knowledge, it's omnipresent, omnipotent, has all knowledge of the past, present, or future, which disqualifies any purpose in life and meaning, because then everything is meaningless and purposeless, because there's all these soul groups and soul hierarchies, and returning to the One, there's no purpose in returning to the One. If the One already has knowledge of everything that was, is, or will be, it already has all this knowledge, there's no reason to return, it already has all the existence and all knowledge and everything, it didn't even have to create a universe, because it already had all the knowledge of everything that was or will be, because it's pure absolute being. People don't logically process the concepts they have to find the contradictions, because there's so many contradictions in these pseudo-spiritual new age conceptions, and that's probably what led me to dissect natural moral law and how I was relating it to all these externalized imagined things, all this bullshit. I was seeing the ridiculousness and other things that I could relate how they were ridiculous and other concepts and apply it to an analysis of the things that I accepted and finally see how they were bullshit. So if you have pure absolute being, there's no change, there's no time, everything is stopped, there's no purpose and there's no meaning. As I've already explained, and I will explain further, evolution, living, becoming, has to do with purpose and meaning and a goal in life. So if you have pure absolute being, which is an imagined abstraction, first of all, because it doesn't exist in reality, well, that pure absolute being doesn't change because it's a pure absolute being. It has no purpose and no meaning because it's a pure absolute being. There's nothing in the future, nothing to evolve towards as a purpose, as a meaning, as a goal to work towards. There's no change. It's a nothingness. That's also why I equate, in a sense, the concept of all and the one as being essentially nothing. Because if you have everything as one, I've talked about this in other presentations in part, if you have everything as one amalgamated uniform oneness, then what you have is nothing in the end. You don't have apples, you don't have oranges, you don't have a planet here, you don't have earth, you don't have the elements, you don't have different humans, you don't have different animals, you don't have different plants, you don't have different compounds and molecules, you don't have anything of any difference. All you have is one thing, and that one thing is nothing. Because when you bring everything together and you smash it all into one thing, you don't have any of those one things anymore, the one apple or the two apples or the 10 million apples. Those one things, individual in themselves, don't exist anymore. And what you have is, you don't have everything as a conceptual all-one universe that just groups things together. What you end up is a nothing, is a one thing that is nothing. Because it's everything that was, that actually did exist, and you conceptually roll it up into a oneness, where that oneness, well, it's not an apple, it's not a human, it's not a plant, it's not a planet, it's not the earth, it's not any element, it's just a one thing. And that one thing is essentially nothing. It's not nothing, nothing, as opposed to just a void of nothingness. If you're thinking of this one thing, but then it exists as apart from that nothingness. Anyways, all of these are just concepts of origins, meaning in life, on creation and our purpose. I've talked about this before in consciousness and symbolism, and how we've objectified, anthropomorphized, and personified aspects of ourselves through symbolism and attempts to provide meaning and purpose for our lives and answer questions. Anyways. Psychology and consciousness is a deep aspect. We fool ourselves. It's time for people to start thinking more. Please start to think and understand this stuff. So the pure absolute being is an imagined abstraction of no change, no purpose, and no meaning. So sorry about that tangent on, you know, that one thing being nothing, essentially. It's only in relative to how everything here is an absolute everything, a remote, a pencil, an eraser, a fork, a plate. If you bring everything together, you don't have all of those everythings anymore. That everything that was the one, the all, as I talked about in the previous presentation on consciousness and truth, which is what truth is, it's just a representation of allness of everything, just as a conceptual oneness. Well, then you pollute that concept, and then you create a pure absolute being, an imagined abstraction, from that concept of oneness and everything, but then everything ceases to be a grouping into an all or one grouping, like a universe, which is what it's rolled into one. Then the grouping is erased and it all becomes an amalgamation of this one thing. So everything that was doesn't exist anymore, and you have this nothing, this goop. You call it prima materia or whatever you want. This original one thing, if you put everything together that isn't itself anymore, it's just, it's all put together. Well, you have this one thing which is nothing, or call it energy. Okay, so it's energy. This one thing is energy, but it wasn't a table, or it's not a chair, or a lamp, or a pencil. So all those everythings are gone, and you have nothing anymore. You have nothing. Energy? Oh, there's no more existence, there's no more life. There's no universe, there's nothing but energy, if that's actually the source. I'm just talking about conceptually, it comes down to it being nothing. And if this nothing, or this everything, this energy, has all knowledge and everything, well then there's no purpose and meaning to life, because it just creates things, and it already knows the end result. that what's going to happen, because it knows all the past, present, and future, and it has all knowledge of the past, present, and future, so there's no even purpose of creating a future, because it already knows what's going to happen. There's no meaning, there's no purpose, there's no becoming. It's everything is statically programmed with the illusion of becoming something. It's just a static, fixed program that just appears like it's changing. So is that how you want to believe reality is? That it's all preordained with this knowledgeable being and has all knowledge, so it already knows what it's already created, therefore there's no actual becoming and evolution. It's all pre-programmed. There's no free will to change. It's all a static, fixed existence, a program that's unfolding without any change. I don't view things that way. I don't view the concept of a pure absolute being as being legitimate. It doesn't hold water. So it's this pure absolute being, it's everything. There's nothing new. There's no change. There's no purpose and meaning into becoming something else. There's no something else to become. There's no purpose and meaning to become something else. There's no goal to become something else. There's no journey, no becoming, no change. There's nothing new. I hope you're understanding this concept of pure absolute being is hogwash. It only exists in your imagined abstraction, in your imagination, in consciousness. You want to claim that this is the absolute reality, God, and blah 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 blah. It only comes from your freaking consciousness. There's nothing in reality. It's antithetical for how we even perceive reality as existing in our own existence and how we live. And you want to take how you live existence and say that that's less real than the imagined concept that you derive in consciousness? How insane is that? That you're going to relegate actual existence as being less real than the imagined bullshit that you have envisioned in your consciousness. This is how poisoned we've become in consciousness. We don't think. We believe whatever the hell we want because it makes us feel good about how special and powerful we are. But not in a real sense. I'm talking about the work that I'm doing to bring back your recognition of where the source of truth, love, good, right, morality, natural, moral law comes from. I'm trying to bring it back into you. And screw the externalization. I'm going to show you how it makes less sense. So why would you even accept it as a possibility? Even if you do recognize that the power does come from you, then you're going to still stay attached to some externalized concept, which when you look at it comparatively, either it comes from that or it comes from you. You're going to see in the next presentation that they all come from you. It all comes from you. This pure absolute being that you try to attribute sources for things and all these imagined conceptions is purely just imagined abstractions in your consciousness. There's no verifiability in reality. There's no veracity in reality. It's purely conceptual. Nothing in existence exists as pure being. Only concepts do, like the truth, the all, the one, like the universe, rolled into one. Flux, change, motion is the real way of reality, as I've already been talking about. Reality is not fixed, motionless, unchanging as some eternal, permanent, quote, absolute, pure being, as an unreality. That's not how reality is. Reality doesn't operate as an unreality. Reality isn't fixed as an unreality. Reality is not motionless like an unreality. Reality isn't unchanging like an unreality. Reality is not some eternal, permanent, absolute being like an unreality. Reality is reality, and all these concepts that you derive in your consciousness are actually representative of unreality, of how things do not operate in the reality we live in. Oh, so you want to imagine, oh, well, that's how things operate at the pure absolute being level? Do you exist there? Then how the hell do you know? It's purely belief, it's not a truth. Oh, well, this is how things operate in the 5D or 6D or 10D or blah blah blah, D up your ass, whatever the hell you want to imagine. Do you actually live there? No, then how about you get back down into the real be here now, which is actually to be here, here, in this reality, now. That's the real purpose of be here now, is to get your head out of the clouds, out of some other dimension, out of some other reality, even if it exists. I personally do not care at all for my ability to understand the reality that I live in, for the work that I have to do on the ground, in this reality, in this existence, now, not in the future, not in some envisioned, imagined future incarnation that I'm going to have, not in some envisioned, imagined past life that I had. I'm talking about right here now, not in some other galaxy or dimension or whatever the hell you're talking about. It's about being here now and focusing on affecting the reality now by affecting the future so that it becomes the reality that will become now. Might have jumbled things up in that last part there, but the purpose is to affect the now so that you can create the future you want to create. It's not about, oh, I'm going to escape this reality now, I'm going to go to another reality, I'm going to go to another time, I'm going to escape to another time, I'm going to escape to another presence, another place. It's all escapism, all this new age, pseudo-spiritual. It's completely pseudo-spiritual. Everything about it is all escapism. It's all not dealing with reality. It's all about imagination. Imagination into truth level 2 potential? No. They don't care to imagine greater degrees of truth level 2 potential by analyzing their behavior, you know, what they're doing, their rights of ownership, what rights they have to other beings, like other animals, and how they don't have the right to pay other people to murder them or murder them themselves if they like to go hunting once a year in a degenerate, lower base consciousness, animal, immoral living. You know, that's not what life's about. It's about becoming better. So I don't know where I was going with that tangent, but I'll finish with this infographic. A fixed being in reality does not exist because reality is dynamic change and becoming in the process of time, both at the physical, material level of the universe developing and the potential development in consciousness. Sorry, I was correcting a typo, so I had my speaking a little off. Reality is dynamic change and becoming in the process of time, not in fixed time. That doesn't exist. So it's a dynamic change and becoming in the process of time, both physical, material level of the universe developing. It develops, things change, suns die, supernovas, planets get born, die, etc. There's the physical level of change and becoming, dynamic in time. And then there's the potential development in consciousness, that dynamic change becoming in process and time. That's where the greater potential is for us as consciousness, rather than be moved. This is another infographic I have. There's forces at work, which are just forces, cause and effect, physical forces in the universe. And then there's moral forces, consciousness forces, a higher order consciousness forces of a moral capacity to create and affect reality through that force of consciousness, as opposed to the programmed deterministic forces. In reality, you have the free will, non-deterministic force of consciousness that can change things apart from the natural flow of things happening. Consciousness can bring greater change into a system. We are always working towards the future. Morality concerns the future actions we are going to take, learned by judging past actions. Infographic number 5. We are being, presently now, but aren't everything we can be, nor are we all we have been before. We can become, to obtain or receive, something that we don't have presently in being. And we can also have had something in the past that we don't currently have. So that's how we're presently now not everything we can be, because we can become something better or worse. Or right now, we're not everything that we already have been before. because we could have changed. Becoming and obtaining, receiving is living, but we don't hold on to everything in a static, fixed way. So I'm trying to show the interplay between being and becoming in reality, and also how a becoming of the current state of being as to persist it into the future is a persistence. So I'm tying in persistence and being and becoming, because I talked about persistence in the previous presentation. So you have your actual current being, your static state of being, and then you have the potential. You're going to become brave. So it's a dynamic of more of bravery. So you have the dynamic of more. And then you're going to bring it back down to, so you were to being brave, the static state again. Now you're being brave. So you were not brave, you were just being something. Then you're becoming brave, and then you're being brave. And then you're going to stay brave, okay? You're not becoming brave again, you're already brave, but you're going to stay brave. So you're going to persist in that bravery, the same becoming. Before, the becoming was a dynamic more, it was a change into more. Now